Good evening and welcome to the 6 p.m. session of our March 2nd, the regular board meeting of the Goochland County Board of Supervisors. We will start this evening session with citizen comment period. If anybody, and we have some, I'll go to online. If anybody has anything online, I'll go to that after starting in the room here. If you have anything of concern or interest connected to Goochland, please come forward, identify yourself, try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. We have some public hearings tonight. There'll be an opportunity to speak at those public hearings at each hearing. We have, looks like, five of them. So there'll be time to speak on those, but if there's any other matters, is anybody online?
No, sir, nobody online.
Okay. One more time? Yeah, for online, because I know there's a little bit of a delay. So anybody online that wants to speak at our citizen comment period?
I do, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, please come forward. Yeah.
Sorry, I was running late.
Oh, you're fine. I'm glad. Miss Lascalette, I was ready to gavel it closed. Miss Lascalette was slowing me down. So come on up, and if you don't mind, again, introduce yourself.
Sure. Can I pull this down while I'm speaking?
It helps actually with the audio.
Thank you. Hi, Ms. Lascalette. I talked to her earlier last week. My name is Cynthia Matika. I live at 2334 Bexleywood Run here in Goochland. To the members of the board, thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. Before I begin, I would like to extend a specific word of gratitude to Mrs. Lascalette. Even though she is not my district supervisor, she went out of her way to reach out to the Virginia Department of Transportation when our road flooded out in the fall, and additionally within the past few weeks, keeping us up to date on the power outages. So personally, I want to thank you. The reason I stand here today is to implore you to do something about the trash on our roadways. I put together a presentation of various pictures taken throughout the county that I just recently emailed to you in a hyperlink to a Google slideshow, so I'm very nervous. I created a Facebook group entitled Clean Up the Gooch, which grew overnight. Your citizens of this county are angry and infuriated by the lack of effort being put forth by the state government to clean up our roads. I have emailed VDOT constantly and have filed reports, yet nothing has been done. One of your citizens went as far to contact Virginia Waste Management with no support. There seems to be no accountability whatsoever. Last year, I reached out to Mr. Spoonhauer and informed me of a one-day cleanup in our county, and I wanted to help, but I was at class at Longwood working on my degree to be a principal, which I finished, thank goodness. However, I do not believe that one day in a year is enough. I think we need more time. You cannot blame all the individuals with trucks headed to the dump for the trash on our roads. My son, who's here with me, and I left for our usual grocery store run a month ago and watched as a man threw his Hardee's trash out the window on the side of Riddles Bridge Road. Of course, if I reported it, nothing would have been done because there was no proof except us witnessing the event. Myself, along with two other neighbors, have cleaned up Riddles Bridge near our subdivision, only to have engrossed with litter a week later. I'd like to thank Mr. Bowden, Mr. Valdez, and God knows, many of us used to clean our road all the time, and I'm sure everybody knows Ms. Alvis. So, I grew up in this county. I'm a graduate of Goochland High School. I attended Goochland Middle School on Dogtown Road, which ages me a little, and rode bus 8 to Randolph Elementary every day. I have raised my son in this county. I got married in this county. I'm a public servant in this county, which probably a lot of you have seen me in the school. You are elected officials, and I'm reaching out to you to please clean our community to keep our families safe and to raise our families here. Let's see. I am also a business owner here. I do photography on the side. I would like for you guys to take time to ride down the roads. I think you've noticed Riddles Bridge, Route 6, Dogtown, 522, Cedar Plains Road are just a few. The roads are destroyed by filth and grotesqueness right now, and I feel like our county has turned into a third world country, and I can't stand it. One day a year for trash pickup is useless. Can we have several days a month of volunteering and assisting our community? There are organizations in this community that would be more than willing to adopt a road. I have a student who is a Boy Scout. He's like, we would love to help. Girl Scouts, the Goochland High School graduation class, they need volunteer and community hours for graduation. Can you coordinate with our school leadership? And I'll help out. to make this happen? What about individuals who commit a crime and a part of their sentence is to obtain community hours? Can we use that to help? Did you know Guichley consistently won the Keep Virginia Clean Award for many years? It'd be nice to live up to those efforts put forth long ago and look back at the history and instill a successful future for our young people. I know I'm going on too long. I'm almost done. I would really like to talk to Delegate McGuire because I think he would be a great resource as well. Thank you to our citizens. There are people that reached out all across the community that shared pictures with me. To my son Matthew, who hung out the window of my 4Runner to get pictures. You are our leaders. Please help us. I'm just asking that we get going and make our community as beautiful as it once was. So, you can if you'd like. It's left up to you. I did put together a PowerPoint of the roads throughout the county, and a lot of our citizens reached out, and I did work really hard on it last night. So if you guys want to, you're more than welcome to. Oh, you want me to do it?
My 3 minutes to this.
Oh, look at that. So actually, I feel like I'm on display, but it's okay. If I want to be a principal, I got to get used to this, right? So these are all the roads that the citizens reached out to me and asked me to make a list of. So, and then there's one in particular, that's Riddles Bridge, that's my road, and that's St. Paul's Church. This is an individual who actually cleaned up 15 bags of trash on the side of the road, and then some kind person picked up 4 tires, I think, and took them to the dump and paid for them themselves to dump off. So that's Riddles Bridge again. I guess I'm going the right way. I think I am. Haydensville Fife Road. That Haydensville Fife Road. I guess she said there were 20 beer cans and 20 feet. This was Dogtown Road. That's Matthew. God bless him. He's like, Mom, we're going to get arrested for pulling over on the side of the road. So we know the sheriff. That's Mannequin Road, Three Chop Road. And I just want to get it done. I mean, we used to have a beautiful county. Let's make it that way again. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. How do you pronounce your last name?
Matika.
Matika. Thank you.
Czechoslovak.
Thank you, Ms. Matika. I think we agree. I heard some board members saying it is bad. We've all seen it. I go running even right out here, go running down Route 6. And so next, Mr. Lyle yielded his 3 minutes.
So. Thank you.
Anybody in the room and anybody online?
We do have one person online, but I don't see a hand raised. So.
All right, we'll give it a couple of seconds because there is a delay. And if that's it for in the room and nobody's raising their hand, then we will move into the public hearings. Okay, there's some folks here. So real quickly, how this works is, most of the time staff will present. For the first one, Derek Stamey will present. So the board's going to listen to staff present the case, and we may ask some questions. In cases where there's an applicant, we'll invite the applicant to come forward, and then the board may ask the applicant some questions. We may ask staff to come back up. At some point, we'll end that and call for a public hearing. Anybody that wants to speak on it can speak to us. We do typically allow the applicant to come back forward to address anything that the public has said, but we have to end it at that point, and then we'll deliberate. This first one's not that complicated, I don't think, but Mr. Stamey will present a consideration of a lease agreement.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Derek Stamey, Deputy County Administrator for Operations, and I've got a presentation for you tonight for a public hearing related to a lease agreement for Tom's Auto Service. The action requested is board authorization, consideration for board authorization for the county administrator to execute a lease agreement with Tom's Auto Service. The address of the auto service is 2952 River Road West, Guichland, Virginia, 23063, and consists of two tax map parcels, 42-10 42-99-0 and 42-1-100-0. You may recall back in October or at the September board meeting, we did request authorization to purchase the property there at the corner of Courthouse Circle and Route 6, and we did so. And as part of that purchase, we needed to, on the back end of this purchase, is to reconcile the agreement with the current tenant on that property who's utilizing the premises there with an auto repair service. Now, the terms and conditions of the agreement are a two-year term with a six-month automatic renewal unless there's a six-month written notice by either party to terminate at the end of the original term. The lease is for $2,194 a month, and the lease term will begin on December 1st, 2020. Now, right now, Mr. Porter is on a month-to-month lease since we closed on the property in October. However, we are looking to go ahead and implement this lease and backdate it to December 1st. And this does align with timing related to the potential construction of a county courthouse. Just some highlights of the terms and conditions of the lease. Business hours are Monday through Friday for normal business hours, and Saturday hours are optional. Some other requirements related to the lease include restrictions related to signage on site, related to specific operations related to his business, portability of the signage, whether it can be placed out at the road and then brought in at the end of the day. Also, permitted uses. He can only use the facility for what it's been permitted for, and that is to operate his auto shop. There are some other requirements related to insurance coverage as well, and they can all be found in the lease agreement in its entirety on packet page 80 of your packet for today. And with that, I can take any questions.
Board members, any questions of Mr. Stamey?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. No questions. So I think we will move right into the public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak to the board on this lease agreement for 2952 River Road West, please come forward.
John Falau, 1521 Mannequin Road. I have donated vehicles to Gutron Cares, and Mr. Porter performs a pre-donation inspection. So I hope you do approve this lease so that for at least another 2 years, there's a convenient due diligence place for Gutron Cares. So I very much appreciate what Mr. Porter does on behalf of Gutron Cares. I also appreciate that I no longer have to pay my car tax on those vehicles I've donated, but I think it would be great to see him stay there for another 2 years, and I appreciate what he does on behalf of the community and specifically for the work he does with Gutron Cares. So I don't have a vote, but I hope you do. Say yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lau. Mr. Buzzard, anybody online? Raise
their hand. I don't see any hand raised.
All right. All right, we'll close the public hearing on item one. Board members, discussion, motion? Motion, discussion?
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I move that the board approve this lease agreement between the county and Tom's Auto Service and authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Lasquette.
Second.
We'll give it to Mr. Sharp.
There you go.
A little quicker.
Yep.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second before us. Any discussion? All right. Roll call.
Supervisor Sharp.
Yes.
Supervisor Peterson.
Yes.
Supervisor Spoonauer.
Yes.
Supervisor Lascolette.
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins.
I will abstain. Okay, passes. Next item is going to be this funder. We're going to present conditional use permit renewal application. Turn my mic on. Ms. Hunter is going to present a renewal of a conditional use permit.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Youngs. My name is Joanne Hunter, Director of Community Development. This is a, as Mr. Lumpkins had indicated, a renewal of a conditional use permit for Brianna Gokalski. It's CU 2010-007A, and the request is for an attached accessory family housing unit. Property is located just off of Fairground Road, midway between the courthouse and the Oilville area at 1850 Hawktown Road, and the property is about 7.5 acres. Property and all the surrounding properties are designated on the comprehensive plan for rural enhancement, and all the properties are zoned A2. This is an aerial of it. You can see there is one driveway going into both housing units, and then there's also a shed and barn on the property. The original CUP was approved in 2010, and when that CUP was approved, it was for a second dwelling unit, and it has always been a rental unit. Ms. Gokalski purchased the property in 2019. Conditional use permits run with the land, so with our transfer condition, the CUP and the conditions transferred to Ms. Gokalski when she purchased it. It has always been a rental unit. She plans to continue to use it as a rental unit. I just want to make you clear that when we did the rewrite, when we did the accessory apartment ordinance, if this was a used by a family member, she would not need a CUP, but because this is a rental unit, it still requires a CUP. Here's a blow-up of the property. So the area to the left, this is the rental unit here. The primary dwelling is about 2,200 square feet, and the accessory apartment is about 800 square feet. There was a community meeting. Nobody attended. It was held on December 7th. The Planning Commission meeting last month, they did recommend approval with a 5-0 vote, and no one spoke at the public hearing. You will see some black line from the 2010 conditions. It's really just housekeeping items to correct the language and how we do it with all of the accessory housing units right now. So the number one is establishing that the two dwelling units can be on the property. They wouldn't require a smoke detector and carbon monoxide monitor in the accessory dwelling unit. They would need to provide safe emergency access to the second dwelling unit, which does exist. This would be another 15-year CUP. A 10-year CUP, so it would expire in 2031, and then our standard transfer of ownership or lease if this property sells during that time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter. Any board member, any questions? Yes, Ms. Lasklet.
Ms. Hunter, thank you. Just so I'm clear, both of the residential units are rented?
Ms. Gokalski bought the property in 2019. She had planned on living there. Due to COVID, she had lost her job and she had moved out. At the Planning Commission meeting, she indicated she was moving back in on February 15th, so she may be able to confirm whether she has moved back in or not.
And thank you for that. And also, secondly, just plain reading of the conditions, I don't see the word rental in here. I mean, does it need to be to show that they have?
No, typically what it says is that it can only be rented to family members, and because it doesn't say that.
Oh, I see. It's kind of the other flip around.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We could do it that way, but typically we don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, we put the restriction on it when it's by right. We have that restriction that it can't be rented.
Okay, so you know if this were approved, be sure we're approving what they want.
Yes, because it says two dwelling units as part of the use.
Gotcha.
So that would catch
it. Okay, that does it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good question, and thank good clarification, Mr. Peterson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you for that presentation. This is a situation where there's two dwelling units where potentially both of them could be rented, as opposed to what we traditionally see is a residential unit that's being resided in by the owner, if you will, and then there's a second unit.
Right.
Is that why we're tying in smoke detector and carbon monoxide in both units, because I typically we'll do is the rental unit or the second unit would be the one that we would require to have some public safety measures to it.
Yes.
And not necessarily sweep in a dwelling where there's a residence there, but in this case it picks up both because they both might be rental. Is that?
That's correct. So because the use is two dwelling units, we can restrict, we can put a condition on both of them. When you're only getting the CUP for the accessory dwelling unit, you can only place conditions on the accessory dwelling unit, not what they do in the principal dwelling.
Good, good. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Peter. Thanks.
Did you open up a can of worms?
Yeah. Okay, so the answer was the reason why we've got smoke detectors, carbon monoxide, is because we've got two dwelling units.
Yes.
Okay, then, okay, if that's true, then why is number three only providing emergency vehicle access to only one of them?
It could be changed to both of them. They do have a driveway that serves both of them. That probably is a bit confusing. Tara, do you have any comments?
I mean, if it's one driveway in,
right,
it doesn't make
it, it's attached to the other unit, right?
Yeah.
So if there is to one, there is to the other.
Right.
Okay.
You can just change the word second to each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or drop second and put an S at the end of units.
Or yeah, I mean, I don't want to be picky, but I want to do it the
right
way.
Okay.
In two, it says each dwelling unit. So in three, it could say each dwelling unit, but home is two. So I'm not aware.
Stick to the numbers. Thank you. All the questions, Ms. Hunter. Thank you, Ms. Hunter. All right. Is the applicant here and wish to speak to the board?
Hi, I'm Brianna Grucholsky at 1850 Hawktown Road, Maidens, Virginia, 23102. To just a confirm answer, I did move in as of February 16th, so I am living there. I don't have plans to rent my home. That was just due to the circumstances, I had to make a choice, so I did. But I'm back, and things are fine. And the gentleman who lives in the addition has been there for 8 years. He's a disabled veteran, and I did not change his rent. I honored his agreement that he had with the prior owner, and I told him he could stay until he decides to move on. So I expect him to be there for several more years. And then my intent with purchasing the home, with having both residences, is because I'm a single mom and I'm going through a divorce, I may need like help with the mortgage, so I have that rentability, but also my parents are getting up in age, so I want to have the ability to move them in with me as opposed to like dealing with like a nursing home or something. So do you have any questions for me?
I think so. I don't see any questions. Thank you for coming up and speaking to us.
Thank you.
Ms. Hunter, I do have one question. There haven't been any complaints or concerns or anything since the...
No, sir, no complaints since it's been up in operation in 2010.
Thank you. Sorry, I forgot to ask that when you were already up. Yeah, and I think Mr. Spoon.
Sorry, I may have missed it. How long are we approving the CUP for?
10 years.
Excuse me, 10 years.
Thank you.
Okay, no more questions. We will open the public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak on this application for a renewal of a conditional use permit, please come forward. And Mr. Buzzard, let me know or wave to me if somebody raises a hand online.
I see no hand raised, but just a reminder to anyone on the Zoom call, if you do wish to speak, to raise your hand, please.
All right, I'm not seeing any. We will close the public comment or public hearing. So, board members, I will move that we approve the renewal of conditional use permit CU 2010-0007 for the accessory family housing unit. I would amend the I lost the page here with the conditions. Yep, I got it. I'm close. 99. That number three, access, emergency vehicle access shall be provided and maintained to the dwelling units.
Second as amended.
All right. We have a motion, a second. Any discussion? I will just say that the occupant, a couple of people in the district called me and expressed their support of this, including the occupant of the dwelling unit. Thank you. He is very appreciative of, and I can see why based on what you told us. So I know he is appreciative if we pass this motion. So I would ready to take it to a vote if there are no other comments. Roll call, please.
Supervisor Lascalette?
Yes.
Supervisor Spoonauer?
Yes.
Supervisor Sharp?
Yes.
Supervisor Peterson?
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins?
Yes. All right. You have your renewal. All right. Next one is another conditional use permit, not a renewal, but a conditional use permit. Ms. Hunter is going to present.
Yes, the next public hearing is CU 2021-01 by Steve Krekovic for automobile sales at 501 Wilton Road. Property is located in the southeastern end of the county off of Patterson Road. Patterson is runs along the top of the screen there. This is Wilton Road and Hilton Road. This is the property back here, which is subject to the conditional use permit. Property is zone B1 and designated on the comprehensive plan for commercial. There is single family residential medium density to the west of this property. This is the aerial photo. There's several different buildings back here. This is a 20-foot right-of-way that comes back Wilton Road, and there are a number of businesses as well as a tower at the end of this roadway. The applicant, there's currently a 6,250 square foot warehouse on the property that's currently being used as a furniture upholstery business, and then there's also about a 4,000 square foot fence in area that is currently vacant. We also have we had a conditional use permit in the general vicinity, but in 2016 also by to operate vintage auto sales in this area. So there is a precedent for this area being utilized for auto sales. The applicant really does internet auto sales. However, DMV, for them to get their dealer's license, they do have to rent at least 250 square feet of office space and have parking for at least 10 vehicles. So this is their location, but primarily it's not a location where people would be coming and viewing cars. Most of it would be through the internet. And he indicated that he'd probably store about 6 to 8 vehicles on the lot and maybe there a few hours a week. So this is the upholstery business is located in this. He'd be leasing 250 square feet here, and then the vehicles would be stored in the fenced area. Community meeting was held on January 4th. No citizens attended. At the Planning Commission, they did recommend this request with a 5-0 vote. One person did have some questions about the visibility and screening of the vehicles from Patterson Avenue. This is set pretty far back off of the road, and there would be no visibility from Patterson Avenue. So the conditions, these are similar to other used car sales conditions that have come through in the recent years. So the one would establish the automobile sales use. Automobile refers to passenger vehicles and does not include things like the larger trucks or heavy vehicles or equipment. Vehicle repair is limited to minor repairs, things like fixing the windshield wipers, things like that, cleaning it, but no hard, heavy repairs of the vehicles. They will need to do a POD or a minor POD. The conceptual plan, which was shown in the presentation, the automobile display area would be located within the fenced area. They would have to comply with all ordinances related to automobiles, such as proper disposal of gasoline, batteries, antifreeze, that sort of things. No outside storage of vehicle parts is allowed. The vehicles would be screened with that fenced area. They would need a lighting plan if they're going to add any lighting. Signs would be limited to what's permitted in the zoning ordinance, and no attention-getting devices would be permitted. Hours of operation would be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday. This would be a five-year CUP consistent with the start of most conditional use permits and then our standard transfer of lease condition. I'd be happy to answer any questions on this one.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter. Any board member, any questions? I do have a question. So, and I think it's taken care of with the plan of development. And what's a minor plan of development?
A minor plan of development is if they're going into an existing building or doing very minor changes to the site, less than 10,000 square feet of disturbance, and it gives them the opportunity of just taking an aerial photo and marking on it so they don't have to do full engineered plans. That is something we did with the rewrite to encourage smaller businesses or who are going in and not making a lot of improvements that they don't have to go through the full site plan process, hire an engineer, and things like that.
That's great. I thought that's what I sort of recall. That's excellent. So in this case now, an aerial photo won't do any good because what he's saying is in the application here in our packet says the applicant proposes to construct a 250 square foot sales office within the existing building.
So they wouldn't show us any of the interior improvements, but they would need to just show us where they would have a parking space, a handicap parking space. They would need to show the fenced area, the dimensions and that, and all that.
Is somebody from the county going to go and walk in and look and see that there's actually a 250-square-foot office that's been constructed?
Only if he's doing things that has to create a building permit. If he's putting in new walls or something like that and he has to pull a building permit, they, we would. But if not, we won't be going in there with a tape measure. But that's a requirement of the dealer's license. I'm not sure if DMV verifies if the 250 square feet requirement is met. It's not our requirement.
That is right. That's the that's right. You said that it was DMV that's the reason they're in there. Okay. Thank you. Did that prompt any questions?
Yeah, that one. So, Ms. Hunter, in condition number 9, you've got an asterisk by dark sky compliant. All that's doing is just referencing us to the dark sky verbiage. I don't know why the asterisk is there.
In the packet.
It was probably a typo. There shouldn't be an asterisk in there.
I didn't know if you meant to reference something else. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Sharp.
Did you, in talking at one point, did you say that the main sales approach with this is internet sales?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is not members of the public coming in, they look it up online, they come look at it, and they drive away.
That's correct. Okay. And the applicant is here. He could probably tell you a little bit more about his business model.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. That kind of prompted me to where I was heading later. But while you're standing, and so the screening requirements, I understand that it's internet only right now, but let's say somebody wants to drive by and look and they can't see the cars because they're screened. Is that a requirement of the code, or was that just something the applicant offered, or because of the fence is there now?
That's because that's where he's going to put them, and he had indicated that that's where he wants to keep them.
It just seems odd that we would want to screen a car dealership, mm-hmm. but who am I to judge?
Okay. Thank you. You indicated the applicant's here. You'd like to come forward and
sure.
tell us a little bit about your plans and the business model?
Good evening. Steve Prikovic. And that is correct. The intent is to sell online. Will we ever have a sale in person? I'm sure that it'll happen. Someone happens to see the ad online who lives in Central Virginia, and through an appointment comes over, test drives, and buys a vehicle. I expect that to be the way, the exception to the rule. The model is, it's a boutique car dealership, if you will, small inventory, as mentioned, and sold the eBay Motors and such online. And the fenced-in parking area is just a place to keep and store the vehicles in a safe manner.
Thank you. I was looking at the application here, and so it's in your name individually. So you're not any sort of business, or you're not incorporated or anything like that.
I will be. My business partner, he owns Dover Interiors, Edgar Simmons, and in that building is where we'll build out the 250 square foot space. That's a requirement for DMV. And they will have to come out to inspect that to make sure it's there. Even though the number of customers who venture into it over the course of the year might be one, you still have to have it.
Okay. What types of vehicles? Are these classic, collectibles, special interest, or just...
Anything from a specialty vehicle to maybe a pickup truck to a... Honda Accord.
Just anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any follow-up or ready? All right. We'll do the open the public hearing on this application for a conditional use permit. Anybody wishing to speak to the board on this application, for or against, or comments? And I need to remember to look and see if anybody online.
I see no hand raised at this time.
Anybody in the room wishes to speak on this? All right, let the lag time make sure we don't get a hand raised online, and we will close the public hearing on this CUP application. And board members, open up for discussion and or a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I don't mean to be open up a can of worms, but just want to make sure that we don't want to have a situation. Because of the condition number 8 is automobiles shall be screened from view of all public roads and adjacent properties. So that to me sounds like we're saying you can't see these cars if you're coming down that roadway or driveway. I just want to make sure the applicant's fine with that if something were to happen further down the road.
Yeah, screening is perhaps a bit loose of a term. It's screened. The fencing is approximately 5-6 feet tall. The curvature of the road is as much of a screen with the other buildings from Patterson as the fence itself. An adjacent, like the across the way from where Dover Interiors is, where the repair shop also sells vehicles, they can see right through the chain link fence and see that, oh, there's 8 cars in there. So that is not a literal, you can't see.
Well, I think from our perspective, if we put that in there, so I'm trying to not limit you in what you're doing.
Sure, sure.
So and Ms. Hunter, correct me if I'm wrong, but if that person then got upset because you're out selling their cars and they're like, hey, he's violating his CUP, then you got to come back.
Sure.
Because screening does mean something from when you're talking about
planning. No, that's a great point. From a literal standpoint, it means you can't see the vehicles, and there's the businesses right nearby can see through the chain link fence and see that there's eight cars parked in there. So better language could be used.
Is there, would that be a problem from a planning perspective? Ms. Hunter, if it was if it's okay with the applicant, could we strike?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that we would want screening on the western boundary, because you can see here there is single family, and actually case coming up tonight is on this property, but this could potentially be residential in the future. So I would say maybe perhaps just screening on the western boundary of the property.
So show us where the cars will be parked.
But that's right where people will be coming to look at them, right?
I'm going
Isn't
to the
vet out in front of that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You can't see back there. I drove back there.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
A week ago.
That's what I'm saying. This seems like, do we need this condition is what I'm asking.
If the board is uncomfortable with it, staff doesn't have any strong preference to.
I think it's up to the applicant to ask for us to.
Yeah, I mean, so do I just on this aerial to the right east, I guess that's Hope Church, right?
Yes, sir.
So you got Hope Church on the one side and residential on the other, on the western boundary?
Potential
residential. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sandwiched in between a church and a residential area. But from Patterson, you can't see this from Patterson. It's tucked in behind several buildings and it's set back quite a bit. So, yeah, the big concern would be the drive-by. So not to put words in his mouth, but he's not relying on drive-by traffic for sales, because you're just not going to get any that way. So the concern would be the adjacent properties. So.
And the screening is public roads. Both Hilton and Wilton are private roads. So the screening really is for Patterson Avenue.
I think to the north.
Fenced area is right here.
So, I'm sorry, Duane, you just mentioned those two roads, one on each side, are both private. So no screenings required on the potentially residential side of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And screening from Patterson, which is a public road,
it's
already there. I mean, just you can't see a thing. So it's okay. Really, do we feel we need any screening on adjacent properties or not, left and east and west or not?
I believe with the previous condition that states that the vehicles would be in the fenced area,
right.
That would satisfy planning's concerns, so I would be comfortable with condition 8 being stricken from the permit.
Okay. Will you, maybe you could say that again for the benefit of the rest of the folks.
I'm just trying to make sure that we're aware of, like, hey, as long as, and I think just us talking about it.
What Joanne just mentioned.
Joanne just said that if you could. No, staff would not have concerns with condition 8 being stricken.
Perfect.
Your focus is on condition 5, is that right? From a
yes.
planning, or for this case, from a planning perspective?
No, that's 8.
I think what I was saying, Mrs. Lesklet, is based on the condition number 5 that all the vehicles are stored within a fenced area, that would address any screening concerns. So I would be comfortable with 8 being removed.
Should we speak to the type of fence? You said there's a what's the height of the fence?
5 or 6.
It's a 5 or 6 foot chain link.
Yeah. That's every bit of 6 feet.
I mean, it's a 5-year request.
Mm-hmm.
So, just talking out loud, okay, if we approve it without number 8, and then 5 years it's up for renewal, can the conditions be changed at that point?
Yes.
And if it's like a serious problem, or everybody in the world's complaining, or whatever?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Applicant, would you be comfortable with committing to number 5 with amending it that, a certain height of a fence and that sort of thing?
I don't think you need to. Why would you do that?
Well, I figured you had some kind of security element or something to this. I mean, if it was like a 3-foot chain link fence.
That's not our, no.
That's
what I was wondering from a staffing perspective, if that's what.
Let me clarify.
What's the purpose of a fence then from a planning?
Fence is already there.
It's already there, and that's where they have indicated that they're going to.
So it'll help define the area, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it also limits how many cars, you know, they can't, they bring in 50 cars if there's a limited fenced area.
If you take into consideration the barbed wire on top of the fence, it's actually about 7 feet tall.
Well, I was figuring.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's up there.
I just came up to clarify a little bit. I think the word screening came from the last meeting. Someone called in on the Zoom and asked about what they could see from Patterson Avenue, and I think because of the word, I don't think screening was ever mentioned until that conversation. And then basically from Patterson you would be looking through another dealership to see us already, if you look back at that page.
Yeah.
On that map.
Yeah, it's pretty clear you're hidden behind that building. Do you mind just introducing yourself, because these
Edgar Simmons. I own the property at 504 Wilton Road.
And you, I'm sorry, your name was?
Edgar Simmons.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, board
number? So the consideration is possibly striking number 8, and the applicant, as far as...
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with
sure.
that? Okay. And that it's a 5-year, and if there is an issue... Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chair, if you're ready to entertain a motion, I'll go ahead and make one. Mr. Chair, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve conditional use permit number CU 2021-00001 for automobile sales at 504 Wilton Road, subject to the imposed conditions, with the following amendment: that we go ahead and strike condition number 8 that had to do with screening.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Ms. Lascolette, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Supervisor Peterson.
Yes.
Supervisor Sharp.
Yes.
Supervisor Lascolette.
Yes.
Supervisor Spoonhour.
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins.
Yes. So you have your permit. Best of luck to you in the business.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, always love Gooch in business. All right. Number 4 is a conditional use permit. Ms. Hunt?
Yes, this is conditional use permit amendment, CU 2002-0003A, filed, by Jessica Cardini and Jessica Wade. Sorry if I butchered your name. It is to allow a detached gift shop to an existing CUP for a restaurant. Property is 1.77 acres, and it's located at 1840 Mannequin Road. You can see there the property is designated on the comprehensive plan for single-family residential medium density. It's located just outside of the Centerville Village area on Mannequin Road, and all the surrounding properties are zoned A2. You can see the aerial there for the property. The proposed use for this conditional use permit amendment is to allow a detached gift shop at Lola's Farmhouse Bistro Restaurant. The original CUP was approved in 2002 for a restaurant. It was Fox Head Inn. Previous to 2002, the property had already operated as a restaurant for about 30 years, but in 2002, there were some changes that required restaurants to get a CUP, and they decided to go through the CUP process so that they could wouldn't have to be grandfathered, that they would be permitted by right. This permit's not really making any changes to the restaurant use. It's only adding the gift shop use. So it's kind of hard to see with the tree coverage, but Lola's Bistro restaurant. It's a white farmhouse, is located here. This is the parking area for the restaurant, and they're proposing to locate the accessory gift shop at the edge of the parking lot, just to the left of the building. So this is a blown-up area. So this is the restaurant here. The entrance is located just off the picture, and at the edge of the parking lot, they're proposing to build a 400-square-foot gift shop. We did allow them, with the conditional use permit, to expand up to 800 square feet in the future. Community meeting was held on October 27th. Planning Commission members Patuck and Myers and three citizens were in attendance. There was one question regarding parking during the restaurant hours. The retail use would require one additional parking space. They do have excess parking with Lola's, so they would be able to meet those parking requirements. And generally, those in attendance at the community meeting were supportive of the request. At the Planning Commission meeting, it was approved with a 5-0 vote, and no one spoke at the public hearing. So these first three conditions already exist on the property. This establishes the restaurant use so that the property can be used as a residence or a restaurant. The restaurant use could expand up to 800 square feet as long as the expansion is architecturally compatible, and they can have 25 square feet of signage. So these are the new conditions for the gift shop that would be added to the CUP. So the use would be establishing the gift shop. They would have to do a POD or a minor POD. The conceptual plan is shown that would be located as shown in the presentation. The size of the gift shop is limited to 800 square feet. Again, they're proposing a 400 square foot building, but we did want to give them some flexibility if they want it to expand. The gift shop is limited to using the existing driveway access to Mannequin Road, and no additional access would be permitted. The hours of the operation for the gift shop would be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The property shall maintain a residential appearance. Signage would need to be added to the included in the 25 square feet of the existing sign for Lola's. Screening. This new structure shall be screened from view from all adjoining property lines by a double row of evergreen trees, a minimum of 6 feet in height, and vegetation that dies or destroyed must be replaced. And this was because there are residential uses on either side. And this would be a 5-year CUP to 2026, and then our standard transfer lease condition. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Board members, any questions?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I just forgot it. Oh, the restaurant, is that open 7 days a week?
No, 5 days a week.
5 days a week. But the gift shop could be open seven? Maybe when the applicant comes up, we can talk about it. Okay. All right, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Joanne. So just so I have this straight, so the restaurant currently has the ability to add an 800-square-foot structure, but it has to be a restaurant. Is this replacing that structure? This is an addition to?
It's an addition to.
Okay.
Yep. We did not change any of the conditions of the restaurant use.
I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thanks. Now, Joanne, there's been a restaurant there for quite some time. Have there ever been any complaints about the restaurant?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, good. And my understanding is a lot of the people that would use this expanded would be the patrons of the restaurant.
So people waiting for tables, going into the restaurant, swing by the gift shop, that sort of stuff.
Net new traffic, not a whole lot of net right. new. It's really just an ancillary business.
Yes.
So, okay, good. Thank you.
So when I'm looking at the resolution on our packet, it says restaurant and residence, and it has 1, 2, 3. Then it says gift shop, and then it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are we, if we approve this, Well, let me go back to on your. You should have them on you. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, scroll up on. Okay.
So conditions okay. 1 through 3.
So 1 through 3. Are we voting on those? Because if you said the restaurant hasn't changed, what is 1, 2, and 3?
You are including them because you're. This CUP would go on top of this one, the previous one. It would replace the previous one. So we're
well replaced. But are there conditions that we don't want to delete? And
these are the three conditions that are currently with the restaurant right now, and we did not change those. And so the conditions 4 through 16 or 12 only apply to the gift shop. So when it comes back for the renewal is only for the gift shop, not for the restaurant. Does that make sense?
Well, no, it did.
That was resounding, though. Okay, let me say that differently.
that was my first thought was 5 years is not very long,
mm-hmm.
particularly for an existing business that has been there for so long. I thought, should we explore longer?
Right.
But now you're telling me that not only are we just we're kind of. Feels to me we're taking a negative approach towards the restaurant by putting them on something shorter.
So the first three conditions are currently in place for the restaurant right now.
And so you just are, those first three,
right.
You just dropped them from what's existing, put them here.
Yes.
And the true amendments are really additions.
Yes.
And you're making it clear that those only apply to the gift shop.
Yes, so because okay. They're under a different category and under the gift shop, and it would only be
so
for them.
So where is it? And what you're presenting us that we're carving out 1, 2, and 3 from the 5-year limitation. Oh, the
cup, headers.
The cup for the gift shop expires
mm-hmm.
the last day of
yes.
March 20th. So when does the cup for the restaurant expire?
There's no expiration for that. It's been in place, and they would not. They are only coming back because they're adding a new use to the CUP.
Now it makes sense.
Okay. Sorry, I was not clear.
No, we're just a little slow. That's good.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
One of the things we're trying to do in concert with the planning department is as a case comes in that has an old CUP, we want to make it clear in the resolution and in the conditions, like what applies from before, what applies from today. If we can, we try and bring the old conditions into this case so that you only have to look at one case to know that all the conditions are there. And the whereas clauses in this ordinance tells you there was this other one, these conditions supersede it, this is all you have to look at. So we're just trying to create that history for each parcel, which makes it easier for people to find out exactly what applies as new CUPs are done. So the planning department's partnered with us in that and just trying to, so that's why you'll see something like there was a CUP, these same three conditions came forward, now we've added these others, but they're all in one case. You only have to go to one place to see everything that applies.
Thank you. You're telling us we should read the whereas clauses. They're important. Right?
Nope, you can just let me tell you that. That's all you have to do.
A question that, you know, and it comes up when you get to the last part about, you know, the standard conditions of notifying a new buyer and stuff. We're getting pretty close to being able to overlay these things. And when you were describing how we're building these out, it seems like we're building them out to be smoother layers of data in our GIS system.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not just getting a CUP for a gift shop and then you have to go back to another permit for the restaurant. It's all in one permit, so you're not continually
yeah.
researching back.
That's very helpful. Thank you both. But no more questions from Ms. Hunter. I think we're ready to hear from, if the applicant is here and would like to speak to us, we would love to hear from you.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Cardani, and I reside at 1575 Lou Lane in Crozier. And I'd love to answer any questions you may have.
Go ahead.
Okay. I can answer your question about the hours if you'd like.
I'm going to just kind of look to you. I don't even Just go.
Just assume, right? Assume I'm going to have a question. I just wanted to go back and explore the hours. So there's nothing in the conditions about the gift shop hours or days of the week. So
I believe
would you be open on days that the restaurant is
not
open?
We are planning on being open just the days the restaurant is open. But okay. I believe we wrote in the conditions 7 days a week just to give us flexibility if we wanted to change the days.
Okay.
But we plan on just being open when they're open.
Right. And that would probably, that's where you're going to get your traffic.
Exactly. We're planning on having their customers, you know, shop while they're, after they're dining or waiting or whatever. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep them waiting so they're staying here, right?
just to be clear, I think it has on here, gift shop use may be open to the public from 10 to 8 with no day. There's no day restrictions, but it says 10
the days
to
8. Were.
Hours, yes.
The days that the restaurant is closed, at least right now, include Sunday. Is that correct?
Or Monday and Tuesday. They're actually closed.
It's Monday and Tuesday.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We will open the public hearing on this application for an amendment to a conditional use permit. All right.
Thinking ahead, Mr. Chairman. Jonathan Lyle, 1521 Mannequin Road. I live just about a mile south of this location. I am impressed that they have kept a business going through these unprecedented times. Their parking lot is usually robust and well attended, so I hope you will approve this. I'm very appreciative of the entrepreneurial spirit and people who are willing to make a business more robust. So it may give heavy competition to Mannequin Town, which is just about a quarter mile down the road, but I'm okay with competition, so I'd like to see them welcome to the neighborhood. So I hope you approve it.
Thank you, Mr. Lyle. All right. Anybody online?
I see no one with their hand raised, sir.
All right. Anybody else in the room? And we will close the public hearing. Board members, any discussion, any motion?
You? It's in five.
No, I think it's four.
Is it four?
Four.
Well. As soon as I can find a piece of paper. Mr. Chairman, I move that the board approve conditional use permit CU2002-00003A to add a detached gift shop use in addition to the existing restaurant and residence uses at 1840 Mannequin Road, subject to the conditions presented.
Second.
Thank you. Motion second. Board members, any discussion? Roll call vote.
Supervisor Spoonhour?
Yes.
Supervisor Lascalette?
Yes.
Supervisor Peterson?
Yes.
Supervisor Sharp?
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins?
Yes. Thank you all. You have your amended permit. And again, best of luck to you all. Thank you all. I'm with Mr. Lyle. It's exciting when people are growing their business, and especially in these times, and really, truly wish you the best.
Thank you.
All right. We are up to our last public hearing of the evening in District 5. Giving a heads up there.
Good evening again. This is actually a rezoning case, RZ 2021-01, filed by Boone Homes for rezoning from A2 Agricultural Limited to R3 Residential General, with proffers on a 10.24-acre parcel to develop a 10-lot subdivision on Blair Road. Again, this is also in the... You want me to stop talking? I can sit down if you want. In the southeastern portion of the county.
So this is actually directly behind the CUP that was heard this evening, which was this property here. This is this stem-shaped property. This is a 50-foot stem off of Blair Road. There are some two existing homes in front of the property, and then the West Oak subdivision is located immediately to the south of this property. Property is designated on the comprehensive plan for single-family residential medium density. And here's an aerial of the property. It is a wooded site. The applicant is proposing a 10-lot subdivision. The request that went before the Planning Commission, they requested a 13-lot subdivision. The comprehensive plan only supports a density of 10 lots. As I indicated, this was designated single-family residential medium density. I'm going to read you that definition from the comprehensive plan. That single allows single-family uses with an average lot size of 1 acre. This classification generally corresponds to the R1 and the R3 zoning classifications. So with the request of the R3 and the 10 lots, it is consistent with the comprehensive plan when they were proposing the 13-lot subdivision before the Planning Commission. It did exceed what the comprehensive plan did support. Just for background information, the R3 district requires a minimum lot size is of 20,000 square feet. The site is not located within the TCSD because it is south of Patterson Avenue, but it can be served by public water and sewer. So here's a conceptual plan of the property. You can see the 10 lots. They do have a open space, 20% of open space. They probably have higher than that now, but that's a minimum that's required. One of the issues that was discussed at the Planning Commission meeting is they had previously only had a 10-foot buffer along this boundary, and with the reduction of the lots, they were able to increase that to 35 feet, which is similar to the buffer for West Oak, which is to the south. And they also have a proffer that they would put in one street tree along the roadway, one street tree per over 50 feet along the roadway. This is an example of some of the elevation types of elevations of what the houses would be. There is a proffer that the minimum house size would be 2,500 square feet. That could include the garage. There was also concerns at the Planning Commission about Blair Road and the traffic along Blair Road. This property with 10 houses would generate about 100 vehicle trips per day. They have very small frontage. They only have about 50 feet of frontage along Blair Road. They have indicated that they have worked with the property owner to the south. Let me show you that. It would be the property owner that is located here. They're going to purchase some land from him so that they can do a 50-foot taper, which would improve being able to pull off and not block traffic on Blair Road as someone's trying to make a right into the subdivision. In terms of Blair Road, it is a narrow road. There are no shoulders. There is potential, or we have seen some flooding in parts of Blair Road, not particularly in front of this property, but those were concerns that were raised. So Blair Road is part of the regional long-range transportation plan for reconstruction. It is in a time band to occur between 2029 and 2034. The estimates at that when it was put into that plan was $2.5 million, could probably be increased by the time it gets to the point when we're actually going to construct it, but we do not have a construction date time for when that improvements would be made. There was a community meeting back in November. Mr. Patuck and 11 citizens attended. There were concerns at the meeting related to safety as it pertains to the increased traffic on Blair Road and questions related to buffers and drainage. At the Planning Commission meeting, they did recommend denial with a 5-0 vote based on the concerns of the requests exceeding the comprehensive plan and the lack of buffers, but the applicant has made changes to the application and improved the application and have addressed those concerns that were raised at the Planning Commission. During the public hearing, one citizen spoke in support of the request and three spoke in opposition. Their concerns were traffic on Blair Road, lack of shelters and flooding, and the concerns that I've already indicated about density and the lack of buffer, which the applicant has addressed. This is a residential rezoning, so we did run the capital impact model. This is in the eastern service area of the county, which generated a capital impact per housing unit of $9,810. You can see the different categories there where the funding would go for each of the proffer eligible categories, and the applicant did proffer that number as part of their addressing their impacts for this site. So I'm going to review the proffers. Again, these are not conditions. These are proffers that are offered by the applicant. The first one is the conceptual plan that was shown in the presentation. You'll see we underlined that they changed that buffer to 35 feet. That was a 10-foot buffer when it went to the Planning Commission. Number three limits the site to 10 single families. That's also underlined because when it went to the Planning Commission, that was 13. They've proffered the elevations that were shown in the presentation with a minimum square footage of 2,500 square feet. The one street tree per ever 50 feet along the roadway. They've proffered protective covenants. And then the cash proffer, as I indicated, of the $9,810, which is consistent with the capital impact model. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter. Board, Mr. Spinauer?
Yes, just real quick, Mrs. Hunter. If we, what can currently be built there? Like, how many homes could be there now?
Property is zoned A2, so they would be able to build three lots on that property without any rezoning by right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. Duane, thank you for that presentation. It seems to me the applicant has responded to the comments they heard in the
yes.
community meeting and the Planning Commission and tried to address those to the extent they can. One of the comments, though, is beyond their control is the flooding on Blair, and I know we've had several conversations with VDOT, ongoing conversations about Blair and about a variety of different things, and it is on scheduled for reconditioning, and that's good as well. The specific concern about flooding, what I've heard this week from a couple of my constituents is that during the recent winter storm events, you'll get some rain, it'll flood, that'll flash freeze and you get black ice on there. And cars coming down Blair at a reasonable speed or doing the speed limit hit black ice and it can be very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to encourage you and county staff to engage VDOT and say the reconstruction is nice, but is there something we can do more in a more immediate nature to address the flooding issue itself since it presents could potentially present, you know, an imminent danger with the, you know, the black ice forming under certain conditions. Doesn't happen every day, but when it does happen, it can be very, very dangerous. So if you and staff could engage VDOT and say, is there something that can be done sooner about that one specific potentially hazardous condition, that would be great. And just
yes,
let
sir.
Me know what you come up with.
Yeah, we will add it to the VDOT list.
And I'm glad it's on the list for VDOT for reconstruction because there's other issues beyond the flooding, but
mm-hmm.
I understand those are in the queue and dependent on funding and whatnot, and
right.
it can be frustrating when we don't control our own destiny on these things because as badly as we want them, it doesn't happen until the funding is there and it rises to the right priority. But we can encourage and let them know that we're continually concerned. So,
yes.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Ms. Leslie? Turn your mic.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Ms. Hunter, you said that where they are, they're on the south side of Route 6, so they're not part of the Tuckahoe Creek Service District. But I thought you said something about they could be connected.
They will be connected to water and sewer. There's water and sewer in West Oak, which is to the south.
Right, but it's not Tuckahoe Creek.
It's not part
that's
of the...
That's the one that we did. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Right, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Most of the emails and whatnot that were received on it were
talking about traffic. And it seems like Blair Road was pretty much of a mess. Or Patterson, getting onto Blair Road was a mess before they put the traffic light in. Traffic light seems to have alleviated those problems fairly well. And now it looks like we want to mess it all up again with more traffic than the road. People talking, saying, yeah, we're adding now 100 cars more a day. The traffic backups will be on people coming in the afternoons are going to be coming off of Patterson Avenue in all likelihood. So you turn on Patterson, you go south on Blair, and you're going to back up turning left into the subdivision. Well, you got all the cars coming back out from St. Catherine's picking kids up from athletic practices and whatnot. The lane that you're talking about putting would be on the east side of Blair.
Right. It would be a right turn lane going in.
Really that much of a problem as it is coming this way. Anybody coming down Blair would just be able to turn straight in. I just wonder if we're not creating another traffic mess when we finally got it straightened out.
So our threshold for requiring turn lanes for subdivisions is when it's at 30 lots or more, then we say it generates enough traffic to create a turn lane.
But the concerns that people were that emailed us were just the general traffic on Blair Road.
Yes.
People being able to traverse Blair Road because it's extremely narrow. And if you got somebody who's sitting waiting to turn left while there's 50 cars coming down Blair Road toward Patterson, it's just going to back it right back up into Patterson Avenue.
If I could, Mr. Chair, we've had this similar conversation on a number of different roads, Hockett being one of them, and when we have the VDOT reps come in, they will give us doing the traffic study. They'll say there's the capacity of the road itself. Is it typically bumper to bumper, or is it just stopped traffic? And then there's the capacity at the intersections to process the traffic that comes through. And typically the road can handle a lot more traffic, and then the intersections are where they fail. Like on Hockett, both north and south on 250 and Patterson, those intersections are failing during peak hours, but the road itself can carry a lot more traffic. In this case, I've heard the similar comment, and you can pass this along to VDOT, please, too, which is we just completed a right turn lane where River Road comes into Patterson at the Country Club. There's a right turn lane so that folks that want to turn left, they don't hold up the traffic that's just trying to turn right and merge into traffic. I don't believe we have a similar situation here yet where I'm going north on Blair. I don't know that we have a right turn lane that can allow traffic to continue to turn right while the traffic that's waiting to turn left at the light is stopped. So that, again, back to the intersection being the choke problems, especially when Collegiate lets out in the ball fields and all the traffic goes north, it's kind of a surge that if there was the right turn availability, it would move a lot more of the traffic through a lot faster. So again, it's back to the intersection failing, whereas the road's not necessarily failing as much because the road can carry a lot more number of cars per hour than it currently is. But once you get to the either end, the terminus, then you sometimes get backed up depending on what time of day. So if we could perhaps as part of the reconstruction make sure that a right turn lane gets included, that might help that intersection during those peak periods when it fails. Because the other thing is VDOT has said in the past that they don't engineer for nothing ever failing ever. If there's a peak rush hour in the morning or the evening and it fails for 15 minutes, they kind of do an average all day, it's fine. So if we encourage them to at least alleviate part of that failing intersection during those peak hours by putting a right turn in, that would help as well.
And the reconstruction for Blair Road, it hasn't been scoped yet. There hasn't been any engineering done, but that Blair Road Patterson is going to be a critical component of that scope.
Yeah, and one last thing I'll mention is with Patterson and River, there are very few north-south connectors. And so this perhaps isn't your typical secondary road that you could go 10 different ways to get there. There's very few. There's, right, you know, Page Brook and Blair, and that's about it. And so this becomes a major, not cut through, but connector, if you will, between those two roads. So it deserves, you know, a commensurate level of attention.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just being another secondary road. So I would throw that in the mix as well.
Yep.
Any further questions? Okay. You know, the conceptual plan is the diagram, and so obviously the first proffered condition is, you know, that your department has the authority to confirm that it's in the conceptual plan. So let me jump back. Roads and traffic. So these roads, by ordinance, have to be built to VDOT standards. Have they indicated whether or not they will turn these roads over to VDOT?
You have to ask it.
Okay.
Yes. They're nodding to me. Yes, they are going to be public roads.
So the piece you said, they're talking to that owner to the south of the entrance about doing a lane, you know, a little turn lane. That would seem to be a good thing, you know, in the interim until Blair Road reconstruction comes along. But I don't see that they're committed to that with these, because it's not in the conceptual plan and it's not in any proffers, right?
And it's off-site, so they cannot proffer it because it's occurring off-site.
But they could put it in the conceptual plan, right?
I think VDOT's going to require it, to be honest with you. So is that correct? Yeah, VDOT's requiring it, so it's required.
That addresses it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. While you're on that, at some point down the road, there may be a widening of Blair as well, and their little 50-foot stub piece that comes out, have they included an easement or whatever address the potential need for additional widening of Blair going forward?
They did not dedicate any right-of-way, no. It's raised in the staff report, but they did not dedicate any right-of-way along there.
Have we done that with other developments up and down?
We have. This one's unusual that it has so little frontage, but that could be something that you may want to ask the applicant.
Right. All right. Good. Thank you. And presumably as they negotiate for a turn lane there as well, that would be something to take into consideration while they're doing that process too. So, all right. Good. Thank you. Mr. Chair, if I could, see this, the development to the south is West Oak?
Yes.
And you said that the 35-foot buffer is similar to the one that West Oak has. And it looks a little bit like these lots are slightly larger than the West Oak lots. Is that right?
They'd be probably about twice the size of West Oak. West Oak is zoned RPUD, which has no minimum lot size. These lots would be about 20,000 square feet. The ones in West Oak are more in the 10 to 15,000.
So same buffer and less dense than the neighboring development. Okay. And then if you could go back a couple of slides to the zoning maps. Yeah. Okay, start with that one. The property just to the north, it looks like half of it's green and half of it's pink.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, whatever that color is. And this is the current zoning?
Yes, this is the current zoning.
So half of that property is currently zoned B1 or B2, mm-hmm. Is it the salmon?
Right.
Okay. If you go to the next slide.
The comprehensive plan.
Yeah, the comp plan has this residential.
Mm-hmm.
So
this was part of the 1969 zoning when they established zoning. They did a lot of the 500 feet back. And then I imagine they picked up this area because this commercial already existed. This was a board-initiated zoning. Nobody came in and requested this zoning. So it's just been that way since 1969.
So the new comp plan envisions that changing from business to residential?
It's kind of hard to have business back here with no road frontage, so when we looked at the comp plan, it seemed to make more sense for this to be residential.
The reason I ask, if it's adjacent to this property, so we just wondered what would potentially go next to them. That's all. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. Ms. Lascolette?
Ms. Hunter, help me with a little math. I know it's late. It is for me. 10.24 acres, an average of 1 acre per residence, 10 of them. So that's 10 acres. Mm-hmm. So 0.24, so quarter acre is the driveway, the open space, the BMP, and the buffers. All that's a quarter acre.
So we have generally applied that comprehensive plan designation a little loosely. If you recall on the Tuckahoe Bridge example, I think they had 98.2 acres. So the comprehensive plan designated one house per acre average. So we said 98 lots. Similar here. So the lots are not an average of an acre lot size, but it's more a one house per acre for the density.
Gotcha.
And that is something that we've discussed needs to be clarified and cleaned up when we do the next comp plan update, because we have been administering it a little bit differently than the language, and it's a policy. It's part of the comprehensive plan. We have that.
Yeah, I actually understand that. Thank you. Now you're scaring me.
I'm glad I didn't get another resounding no, so thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We'll hear from the applicant if they'd like.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Adam Warner from Youngblood Tyler & Associates. I'm representing Boone Homes, who's the developer on the project. We'll wait for the presentation. I think
Boone Home applicant.
Joe, I think it's the Joanne did a great job of kind of covering all the points. So I'll just kind of be brief.
Okay.
All right. So again, this is a Boone Homes development, Blair Road subdivision. The name is probably likely to change, but that's what we're calling it for right now. Boone Homes, just for anyone that doesn't know, is a custom home builder. Offices are located in Goochland County. They have over 30 years of building houses, both in Goochland and the surrounding areas. The site location that Joanne kind of went over is off of Blair Road. There you see the tax parcel number. It's approximately 785 feet south of Route 6. It is a 10.24 acre site. There's 10 lots, and they're approximately a half acre. Ms. Lascolette, just to answer your question, they range between 20,000 to about 28,000. Actually, one is actually 35,000, so it goes all the way up to that. We are showing 3.1 acres of common area. We have a 50-foot public right-of-way. We are going to focus on having wooded lots. So most developments nowadays, and you've probably seen it for, you know, whether it's lot size or topography, step one in construction is come in and tear down all the trees. And we're not going to do that. This is the kind of homes that Boone is going to focus on here are wooded lots, so that the clearing is going to be for the road construction. And then when they go to start selling lots and building homes, then the home buyer can come in and select, you know, their house site. Let's clear the minimal for that area, whatever yard they want, whatever driveway improvements they need to make. So what ends up happening, instead of having a clear, you know, an aerial, if you'd look at it in the end, basically looks like a wooded lot still. We did provide a 35-foot buffer around the property that Joanne had mentioned. There are some proposed off-site improvements. As mentioned before, we have water and sewer. We'll be tying into county water and sewer. Sewer is already available. We are extending a water line from Route 6. There's a stub on Route 6 that we're going to tie into. We're going to extend the water line south down to our property. So the aforementioned B1 zone property that's comp plan for residential, we'll have an opportunity to tie into that water line. Some of the other proposed improvements, one of the biggest I guess, the adjacent property owners that had the most concerns during the community meeting. Mr. Bodie from Boone Homes and myself met with them a couple of times to talk about their concerns. Right now, their driveway comes out onto Blair Road, and it's an awkward, it's right now it's a Y. And both entrance and exits with the Y, very treacherous getting on and off of Blair Road. So they raised that concern to us. And then the concerns about that everyone else had about traffic. So as part of our discussion with the with Ms. Shepherd and Mr. Harfst was that we would provide the taper, provide the connection for the subdivision on the Blair Road, but then we would turn their driveway and let them access off the subdivision road. So now instead of having to come out to the, through those entrance and exits that are treacherous, they can come in on the subdivision road and then make it right into their property. We will also be providing them water and sewer connections. Once we build the subdivision, we'll extend the water and sewer to them. The proposed homes that Joanne went over, custom homes, again, wooded lots that I described before. If you see the picture down on the left, that's kind of what I was talking about. You're just really clearing areas enough for the house, a little bit of yard, and then a driveway. The houses will be starting in the 700,000s with an average house price of around $800,000. Mitchell Bodie from Boone Homes is actually, I should have mentioned that before. He's here, too, if you got any questions about the housing. Concerns, planning commission, community, and staff concerns. As Joanne had mentioned, the original plan, the density was a concern by the planning commission. The original plan had 13 lots, which was 1.3 lots per acre, which went above the comp plan. What we've come back with is 10 lots, and which gets us down to the one unit per acre that the comp plan calls for. The original plan only had 10-foot buffers around the property. What we've come back with is a 35-foot buffer around the entire property. Traffic, and that seemed to be, you know, the more we had talked about traffic on Blair Road. Again, turn lanes are not warranted. 100 vehicles per day doesn't send you on the threshold, but we are going to provide a 50-foot taper. I believe VDOT will probably ask for that. As far as whether we proffered or not, we've actually got an agreement now with, or we're in talks for an agreement with Ms. Shepherd and Mr. Harfst to also have that 50-foot taper. So there'll be a couple of levels of promises that we've made to these people. And when we, you know, to your concern, Mr. Sharp, about the traffic coming back in the evenings, and taking a left into the subdivision, and that is a concern. And, you know, the traffic coming out of Collegiate at the same time, you're going to be stacking up. While it is 100 vehicles per day during a peak hour, so from like 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., it would only be 10 vehicles per day turning into the subdivision. So it's typically, it's not, you know, 100 vehicles per day. That's stretched out through the entire day. So it would be only 10 in the morning and evening rush hour.
And I think you said we're 700 and some feet south of Blair Road?
Yes, sir, 785.
Yes, sir.
Again, Shepherd Harsh property, they'll have access to the subdivision road, eliminating their treacherous access. There is site distance. We have there's a 390-foot minimum, VDOT minimum, coming out of the subdivision. We were well above that. Actually, coming out of the subdivision looking right, you can see all the way out to Patterson Avenue. R3 minimums, there was some question during the staff report about whether the R3 minimums were provided. We were providing a 50-foot public right-of-way, and the roads will be public. 3.1 acres of common area provided, as mentioned before. There would only be 2 acres required based on the 20% in the ordinance. And again, the 35-foot buffers are being provided, even though there are no buffers required by R3 zoning. And with that, I can just answer any questions. And again, Mitchell Bodie from Boone Homes can answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bodie. Any questions for the applicant's representative?
Yes. Mr. Chair, could you go back one slide?
Yes, sir.
The R3 minimum is 50-foot right-of-way.
So this road coming off of Blair will be turned over to VDOT when you're done building. It'll be a public road.
Yes, sir.
And it's 50-foot wide public right away.
Yes, sir.
If they were to widen Blair, presumably anything they widen over that 50-foot, the easement is already there because it's public right-of-way? Is that...
So, I mean, yeah, so really, really, that's a good, great point. Yeah, because we would be willing to provide a right-of-way dedication. You know, traditionally you'd have, you know, whatever, 300 feet of frontage on a road, and then you would give the ultimate right-of-way dedication. But you're right, since our entire stem will be right-of-way,
then there won't be... That stem's about 50-foot wide then?
Yes, sir.
So the entire stem will be
right-of-way.
Right-of-way.
Correct.
So any widening over
they'll already have
front,
the right-of-way back.
Automatically
correct.
Have it.
Correct.
So then it's really just the property to the south and the Shepherd Horse, and that's a separate discussion.
Correct.
Is that consistent with staff and legal understanding that there really wouldn't need to be a right-of-way on the stem because it already, at some point, presumably will be public right-of-way? Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Looks like no questions. We'll move on with the public.
Thank you.
Public hearing. Thank you. All right. We'll open the public hearing on this application, rezoning application from Boone Homes. Anybody wishing to speak in favor, against, comments, and anything online?
I see no one with their hand raised, sir.
We'll close the public hearing and go into discussion. Or a motion.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I know Boone Homes representative is in the House, and Mitchell, good to see you. I think it was very important that during this process, the community meeting, followed by the public hearing at the Planning Commission, that the applicant did listen and did take to heart and did make changes and was responsive to the comments that were heard, because I'd have a much more difficult time with this request if it was out of compliance and non-responsive and those kinds of things. We do have issues on Blair Road, and they're well known and they're being communicated to VDOT, and we'll have to take some action about that. Whether or not this went through or not, those same issues, you know, still exist. But again, I just wanted to mention that in this case, at least the builder had been responsive and had made some changes that were material and germane to the case. So that said, Mr. Chair, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the rezoning CU 2021-00001 for 10 acres on Blair Road from A2 to R3 with proffered conditions as presented.
Second.
Yeah, you said R. It's RZ. Yeah, you got the number right. Yeah, it's RZ 2021-001. You read the number right.
All right, this is RZ because we had a CU 2021, and this is RZ 2021-00001. So I move that we approve as presented.
Second.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you both. And so motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Peterson, I would echo your comments and thank the applicant for addressing concerns, and it's appreciated. As far as traffic goes, I think the reality is we're dealing with traffic by its nature as a reactive. So I think if we're, you know, there's a plan, we don't have a time frame for Blair Road reconstruction, but I'm comfortable that this is a good application, and the response of the applicant has been positive, like Mr. Peterson said. And so if there's any other comments, roll call vote.
Supervisor Lescalette?
Yes.
Supervisor Spoonhour?
Yes.
Supervisor Sharp? Supervisor Sharp?
Abstain.
Supervisor Peterson?
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins?
Yes. All right. 4 with 1 abstention. The rezoning is approved. Thank you all, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Is there anything else to... Mr. Drumwhite, do you want to go over the other half of the legislative stuff? All right, we have another meeting coming up soon on March 9th at 2 p.m. at Central High School, a CIP work session. So that's not that far away. Then we will have a virtual, as mentioned earlier, virtual town hall meeting at the end of the month. And then we'll be back here on April 6th. The months are rolling by. Thank you all, board members, Mr. Young, staff. Thank you, Ms. Hunter. We are adjourned.